G'day, Nevercasterians. Welcome to your Jetstream preview episode for round six of the Hyundai A-League as the Jets travel down to Melbourne to face Melbourne City at Amy Park on Sunday. We're going to talk over all the news and everything else around this game with two legends of the pod joining me tonight. First up, it's the inspirational Joel Goodsir. How you going, Joel?
Being elevated to legends, that's awesome. Yes, we are legends. Hello.
well, you're a long time participant, mate. So I think that that gets you up to legend status.
Thanks, mate.
No worries. And the craft beer connoisseur himself, Wen Gilson. How you going, Wen?
Yeah, good. As my father would say, I might be a legend in my own lunchbox, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think most people's dads pretty much come up with that at some point in their son's life, or even
what
even
else
their
is
daughters.
In there, Glenn? A chump sandwich?
No.
Yeah, what other dad jokes? Come on,
craft
get
beer.
Get the dad.
Just some hops.
That's it.
Straight down the gullet.
Why not? All right. Opening question for today, and it's a bit of an interesting one. This could turn into Buttergate version. I don't know. We're up to about version 12 now, aren't we? Joel, toothbrush, water on before the toothpaste or after, or do you not use water at all?
Actually, water on before and after.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that it's. Just to make sure that it's properly moist.
that
wasn't intentional, but there's your podcast title, properly moist. All right, Wen, what about you, mate?
I don't get it moist at all.
And then
sometimes I brush my teeth.
Yeah, you should be on the bench for that. So you're going in dry.
Hang on, are we talking about
toothbrush,
the same thing?
Toothbrush and toothpaste. You're not using water at all.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Just dry. But I use water when I rinse my mouth. That's it. That's the anatomy.
Okay.
Oh, and I wash the brush off.
Yep.
But I won't, like, yeah.
All right.
That's,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, you're a freak.
No, hang on a minute.
You're a freak.
Glenn. Are you seriously saying that you brush your teeth with paste and no water?
Yep.
Wow.
I feel like it dilutes. I read something maybe a couple of years ago that's like it dilutes it. It's not good.
But it's still in your mouth. You're only diluting it in. You're diluting it in your mouth anyway with saliva.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah, that's right. So that can be the lubricant. So yeah, why wash away all the good stuff? Like the especially with like the stuff that's got like the I don't know like the not the. The grit, I suppose you want to call it. You know how some of it has like that chalky stuff.
Yeah, but you'd be getting more of that if you don't put any water in it at all. I feel putting water.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you want that. Isn't that meant to? It's like sandpaper. You're meant to like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it'd be like wetting sandpaper, and then that sort of defeats the purpose.
Mm, okay.
There's no right or wrong way. That's just the way I do it.
Well, no, there is. The way you're doing it's wrong. Yeah, I put mine on after, but yeah, I like I said, I don't think there's a right and a wrong way, except for Glenn's way, that's the wrong way. All right, so yeah.
That could be extended to anything that I do.
Well,
really,
that's very true. All right, well, yeah, send us your feedback on that interesting opening couple of minutes on Twitter and Facebook. This Sunday...
Well, we could just end the pod there.
We could end the pod.
It's not going to get better than that.
3 minutes 45, yes, and we've already got an episode title out of it already, so yeah, anyway, we'll jump into it. This Sunday, 7 p.m. at that ridiculous awful kickoff time of 7 p.m. Sunday night sees the Jets travelling down to Melbourne to face City at Amy Park. Joel, casting your mind back to last game against the Wanderers coming away with the win, how much of a confidence booster is that going to be leading us into this game? Obviously, we performed fairly well over the first couple of rounds, but not really come away with much. We've had two draws and two losses, but that win certainly would have hopefully inflated the sales a little bit.
Yeah, it will have. Did I just say will have? It's like a sheep. It will have.
Yes.
Inflated their confidence, but they will need every bit of inflated confidence, because I was down there for the FFA Cup match at Amy Park against Melbourne City, maybe, what was that, 6 weeks ago?
Yep.
And they kicked our ass. Mm. We looked awful against them, and they looked amazing. So I'm hoping that we are very confident after the Wanderers win.
Yeah, Glenn, obviously we'll talk about squads in a minute. A couple of changes looks like they're going to be enforced, so it might give Ernie the push that he needs to change things around a bit, and hopefully that's going to maybe put a little bit more freshness through the squad rather than playing the same team every week, which we have been. Well, I don't think there's been a change apart from an enforced one with Rodenton going out and Canna coming in. Everything else has been pretty much all the same, but you would hope that with a little bit more confidence and with some newer players coming in to hopefully try and cement themselves in a starting spot, it's going to obviously come across on the pitch.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as you sort of mentioned there, with the potentially two changes that may be forced on Merrick with some niggling injuries, there is it's 10 days between games, so I mean, there is as far as fatigue, I don't think that will come into it. I think the main thing will be those injuries and whether those two players can back up or will back up or fit into the game plan away at Melbourne City.
Joel, what do you think Ernie's been concentrating on in training for this week? Is it basically concentrate on what we can do and not really worry too much about the opposition, or are we going to have to? Would he be working on some set pieces and some set plays and tactical switches with trying to rein in some of City's? Obviously, they're a pretty stacked squad, so he's going to be wanting to hopefully counteract some of those players that City are able to call upon.
Yeah, Ernie only ever talks about attack, but definitely our backline's probably been or has been our best asset this season so far. And I agree they would be working on that tightness to stop the free flowing. Opposition with McGree and the, what's that guy they've got, like their right winger or something, who used to play for Wellington a couple of seasons ago. I'm sorry, I can't remember him. Anyway, he was the devastating guy. I'll Google it. He was the devastating guy. So yeah, they'll be working on defense, I reckon. And but in regards to rotations, if Jair is out, they'll need to be working either Austin or Thurgate or someone on that left wing.
Yeah, definitely. Glenn, what about you? What are you hoping to see this week, coming off the game from last week and hopefully with a little bit more confidence under their belt? What are you hoping to see? Obviously, there's been some really good games between these two teams. Not all of them have been down in Melbourne, but cast our minds back to a really good game that took place last season in the run into the final. Hopefully we can see another barnstormer like we saw then.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, both teams have been struggling to score. Both only scored, I think, 5 each so far this season. And I think they've conceded a couple more than us too. So I don't think either team's really hit their straps yet. So it might be another sort of tetchy affair, and maybe only the odd goal in it. But I think testament to that was the best game of the season was that final, which was obviously well and truly into the season. So probably both teams sort of ramp up as the season progresses. So it might not be as free flowing as we'd like, but both teams definitely have the quality on the park to put an entertaining match together.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see. So obviously the stats, as put up by Stats Daddy Dave on the Newcastle Football.net forums, 25 matches between the two teams. There's 10 Jets wins in that, 11 City wins and 4 draws. Down in Melbourne, it's not as rosy. 11 matches, 6 City wins, only 2 Jets wins and 3 draws. First goals in the fixture is pretty even. Goals in the fixture down in Melbourne, City 26 and Jets 14. So obviously there's been a couple of really bad results down there, which skew that in City's favour. Cards in the fixture more than double. Jets 71 to City 46. Recent form: Jets 5 points from the last 15 and City 7 points from the last 15. Leading scorers so far this season. Both two goals, one to Ronald Vargas has scored 2 for the Jets, and Richie Delatt 2 for them. And obviously, as Glenn mentioned, the 2-1 win against City in the semi-final of the 2017-18 season. So Joel, obviously looking at that, not really a happy hunting ground much down in Melbourne, but looking at it looks pretty even. Looking at all the recent form and how City have sort of been a little bit up and down. They sort of, you know, started off with a win and then a draw and then a loss, come back with a win and then lost last week. Whereas we're sort of it seems like we've been steadily increasing. So hopefully that continues this week.
Yeah, hopefully. I think it will come down to how if Jair's out and Georgevski's out. And we've got a couple of new members in the squad. It's about how we're going to combine. But yeah, it should be a really close game. I hope it's a good game, but it should be close. But I'm certainly nervous playing them at home. I also think you'll probably talk about it later, the issues within the Melbourne City squad.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that. We're going to touch on that. Yeah, definitely. All right, Glenn. Looking at some talking points for the Jets side of things, we've only kept 3 clean sheets in our last 30 away matches. We have scored in 16 consecutive away fixtures, so that's not bad in our favour. Jason Hoffman scored his 10th A-League goal for the Jets last weekend, although it's only his first this season, obviously. And so far, we've only played one Sunday away fixture this season, and that was the 2-1 loss to Wellington. So, you know, little of column A, little of column B.
Yeah. No, that is interesting. I would say that they've only kept one clean sheet as well, so they're not impenetrable. So, I would suggest that there could be goals. I don't think there'll be many. I think both teams need to find their shooting boots, but hopefully the Melbourne City pass the ball around really well. They just don't finish at the minute, and hopefully that continues for one more week.
Yeah, we hope so. Joel, obviously the big talking point, we may as well talk about it now, is the whole issues going on around the Melbourne City squad between Warren Joyce and certain players. Obviously, Bruno Fornaroli was dropped last week seems to be questioning the coach's tactics. The report that I saw was that he went up and asked Warren Joyce, so when am I going to get some service? And that's what caused him to get dropped out. Yeah, the talk, listening to other podcasts and looking at media reports, is that Warren Joyce isn't massively liked at the club. So this might be good for us with a little bit of... We've seen how coaches... I mean, you look at the way Tony Popovich ran Wanderers when he was there with an iron fist and made everything in his image, and he dictated everything that went on in that club, whereas it sounds like Warren Joyce is trying to do the same thing at Melbourne City, because Melbourne City, it seems to be, the players seem to have a little bit more power, and the coaches that they've had haven't really seemed to be more of the disciplinarian type thing. Warren Joyce seems to be that, but Joel, it doesn't look like that sort of mentality, drink boats, is really rubbing off in a positive way on the players.
No, it doesn't seem to be. And from the reports, it's not just Fornaroli, but also some of the other players as well. And we saw Bratton being left out of the squad, yep. I think the week before last week as well. Scott Jamieson, the captain, was in the media today saying, oh, everything's fine and it's normal.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, paper over the cracks in that. But yeah, look, it's been all over the media. There's got to be a less harmonious dressing room than we have. And I remember a couple of years ago speaking to Jason Hoffman about his time down there, and he said that club is the morale is terrible. Everyone's really, you know, knifey, trying to stab each other, and it's nothing like us. So hopefully that'll play in our favour.
Yeah, Glenn, obviously looking at previous experiences that we've had at the Jets, it can go in one of two ways. So obviously the players can band together and then achieve in spite of the coach, or they'll just down tools and not want to perform for the coach in the hopes that he's going to get sacked and someone better is going to come in. So it's sort of this game's really interesting on the fact that it could turn either way, and could be a statement game for City, where they come out and just blow us away, or they're struggling, nothing's really quite working right, and then we're able to capitalise. It's going to be a really interesting game to see how it all unfolds.
Yeah, I think it's a developing situation as well. So I don't know. I think for players to band together, there sort of has to it sort of has to carry on for a little bit longer, and then they make a decision, okay, we're just going to put it all behind us and carry on. It's still germinating as far as I can see, so it's probably bubbling under the surface and playing on their minds. So I don't think you would see a resurgence. I'm not saying they won't win. They've definitely got the quality to win the game. I don't know if they're going to galvanise just yet. It's very early days in the rumour mill. And I feel like it's a fool's errand to try and somehow down tools, like you say, and try and get a coach sack, because a club like Melbourne City are just as likely to ship off one or two troublemaking players and stick by the coach. So it's a dangerous game, and I just don't see it playing out this week anyway. I think there's still stuff going on behind the scenes, and in a few weeks you might see one of those two things happen.
Yeah, Joel, as you mentioned, or might have been Glenn, one of you mentioned that Bratton was left out the week before. Fornaroli was left out last week, but Bratton did come back in last week. So is it maybe too much to hope that Fornaroli is not going to be there for this game? Scored in 8 consecutive competitive appearances against the Jets, 7 A-League games and 1 FFA Cup game. And if he scores again this weekend against us, it'll break the Australian football record for goals in consecutive matches against one opponent, currently held by 1 Joel Griffiths, who scored 8 against the Roar during his time playing in the A-League. So, yeah, on the one hand, Fornaroli not being there is going to be great for us. There doesn't really seem to be a fallback option for City. We saw how they struggled in that last game. I really wasn't impressed with how they played. But on the other hand, you want to be playing against their top team so that you can see how good we actually are.
Yeah, El Tuna has been a thorn on our side. I expect him to play. I don't think he'll be dropped a second week. There was reports around him not wanting to travel or whatever, but playing at home, I think they'll go for the 3 points and put him out there with his formidable record against us. We don't want that to happen, of course. Griff needs to be number one on that scoring pedestal.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I also think they could still bother us without him. Dario Vidicic was the guy I was trying to think about before, and he never played for Wellington.
No, he did.
Played for Wanderers.
Yeah, no.
Did he?
Yeah, he played for Wellington. His dad was over there, if I remember correctly, and then they left. Yeah, no, they were there for a couple of months, fell out with the coach, and then they both left, and that's when he went to City.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think players like him can do damage, and we know what Riley McGree is capable of. So whether the tuner is in or out, I'm still nervous about playing them, especially down there.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we've talked about them enough, I think, Glenn. We'll talk about our own guys now, I think. We've got a couple of injury concerns so far this week. I doubt Kane Shepherd's going to be back in. I think his problem that flared up last week was going to keep him out for a couple of weeks. I think he's about halfway through a four-week stint on the sidelines. And it's apparently... Georgevski has a minor groin tear, and Jair has a hip complaint. So it looks like, we'll probably run on the assumption that they're not going to get risked. The going off previous previous injury concerns, Ernie likes to err on the side of caution, and he'll leave them out rather than risk them. So looking at that, they're going to be pretty big misses. I mean, Daniel Jojewski's pretty much been a mainstay in the fullback, regardless of how he's been playing. We've been trying to get some goals out of Jair. It hasn't come yet, but he has been a player that we've been using on that left-hand side. So they're going to be holes that Ernie's going to need to fill.
Yeah, definitely. I think I read a story, I think it was yesterday, saying that Jojewski hadn't returned to training as yet. I know it was only Tuesday, so early days. And Jair was on an individual program, so something to sort of take it easy on that hip flexor. So yeah, I especially as you say with the history of Merrick sort of playing it a bit safe with injuries, I'd suggest that neither of those will be in the squad when that gets released later today, being Thursday. So Yeah, I mean, it presents an opportunity for players like, you know, like the Port Macquarie Pele, Angus Thurgate, to come in and start. I think it'd be his first start of the season.
Yep.
He's looked good when he's come on in patches. And then I guess Vitsa would be a straight swap for Georgievski on the left. Or, well, a swap for Georgievski, put Vitsa on the left and Jackson on the right, I would suggest. But I don't know. I feel like I trust Jackson more on the right than I trust Vitsa. I don't think I've ever seen Vitsa on the right, so at least we know what you're getting with Jackson on the right, even though he's left-footed. But, yeah, who knows what will happen.
Well, Joel, how do you see it? Because I see this could be a prime opportunity for maybe Ernie to look at dropping Hoffman back into that full-back role while Georgievski's not there. Gives us that speed that we've been needing. I think that if we have Vojica on one side and Hoffman on the other, that would be a fairly stable back line that gives us some speed down the flanks and going to be screened by, obviously, cross our fingers, Jurgarčević and Kanna. That would be a pretty good back line in the middle of the park to, I think, nullify most of what City can throw at us.
I think we'd say that every week, but Ernie never does it, and yeah. I think he'll continue not to, purely because, especially if Jair's out, he's got to put Austin or Thurgate in for Jair, and then if he puts Hoff back, he's got to put Austin or Thurgate at the point, and then who does he put on the bench? Costa Petrados? I just can't see him doing that. I think he'll want the firepower, and he doesn't tend to change it up too much. I think he's just holding out for O'Donovan to come back with Hoff.
Yep.
And because he scored last week as well. It's definitely a good option, but I just can't see him doing it.
Glenn, obviously the other option, which I think is probably the more likely one, is that Cowburn will come in to replace Georgievski. Cowburn, we've seen that Vojic has only made just the one subs appearance this year. And didn't really do a great deal to set anything on a light. Cowburn might be the better defensive option. He did show some good patches playing in the middle when he came on for Canada the other week. So that could be another option where, even if Cowburn's on the bench, that could be another way of doing it. But yeah, what are you thinking? You're thinking it's going to be Jackson and Vojica in the back line?
I mean, you raise a good point there with Cowburn, because at least he's right-footed, so he could come on the right and a straight swap for Georgievski, and then leave Jackson on the left, where I feel he's more comfortable. I didn't consider that, but that could definitely be an option. But I think Cowburn, in his appearances so far this season, it's been in the midfield. Is that correct?
But he was. Yeah. But when he has played before, he has been used in a fullback role.
Oh, I know he has been, yeah, but I just mean this season especially. Yeah. And I think Merrick sees him as a midfielder. I'm not saying he wouldn't deploy him at the back, but I think he would try and put him in as a midfielder if he could. But in saying that, if you've still got Vitz on the bench, you start with Cowburn at the back. You could always, you know, shift some stuff in the middle, move him up or off for Vujica, depending on the fitness of Rodenton as well. I think he's maybe in the frame to come back. So the good thing about the squad in general is that we have that flexibility. You've got players like Hoffman who can play anywhere up that left side or even at the point, really. And players like Cowburn who quite similar in their utility sort of role. So it does mean you can sometimes put a square peg in a round hole and it will work. So it's a luxury for a manager, and sometimes it can be a detriment to individual players when they can't nail down a specific position.
Yeah, Joel, the only issue I'd have with, I mean, love Cowburn, a brilliant player, but the only issue I would have is I would see him being more of the defensive type fullback rather than an attacking type fullback. He wouldn't be, he'd be too similar to what Jackson's doing on the other side. Very solid in defence, not giving that much away, but not really bombing on that much to provide width and to give a little bit more attacking impetus down the wings, to get more service into those guys that are running forward. So That might be why we would probably see Vojica maybe used as a first up option to see how he goes, and then maybe if it's not working, then we look at bringing on Cowburn as a sub.
Yeah, I think Merrick will go for Ivan to start and Jackson, and I'm also thinking that he might even put Johnny Kay on the bench because Johnny's played defense a fair bit at fullback, and if Redenton is not fit, then he'll want to keep Cowbs as that midfield utility bench player because the bench could be looking a bit thin this week without Shepherd, Georgevski or Jair.
Yeah, definitely. That's thanks for reminding me, Joel. I didn't mean to talk about Johnny Kay a lot earlier than now, but we'll touch on it now. After obviously being out for 6 to 8 weeks with the thyroid operation, there was no, the 6 to 8 weeks wasn't meant to be a dig. Taken out for that surgery and recovered and played in an intra club trial game, Glenn, for 60 minutes. So that's fantastic to see the young fella back and ready to play.
Yeah, hopefully. I feel like they'll probably treat him with kid gloves a little bit and just make sure that he is in a good physical and mental space. But it's been excellent the way the club's handled it and just sort of really embraced him and supported him from all I've heard and read that, he's very much still, even when he wasn't training, he was around the training grounds when he could be. And just felt like he'd never left. So they've handled it exactly as you would hope, and put him in the best position to come back fitter and stronger and hopefully contribute. I think this weekend might be a bit early, but with the injuries, maybe he will be on the bench as a just in case, and it might be good for him to travel with the team as well.
Do you see him as a bolter for the squad, Joel? Do you think that might be? I mean, obviously, we don't know. We're not on the Jets medical staff, so we can't really find out how he recovered after the game. But if he does recover really well and he looks like he's ready to go, do you think he might be a chance for a not necessarily an appearance, but be in the squad this week? Or do you think it maybe they'll just, like Glenn said, they'll look to ease him in rather than just chuck him straight in?
I just put my stethoscope around my neck, so I'm feeling qualified to answer this question. But I actually reckon he might be on the bench this week. And the reason I say that is because he has been training for a few weeks. I was out there a fortnight ago and he was training. Not full training, but he was training. But he's been full training for at least a full week and played an hour in the intra-club game. And he's keen. He's so keen. He looks fit. He looks well. He's itching to get out there. So I actually wouldn't be surprised if it was on the bench for Ivan and Jackson this week.
Interesting. All right. Glenn, we'll look at the front line now, and obviously we've had, as we touched on earlier, Jair looks like he's probably going to miss this game. So we're talking to Ernie Merrick in patches that we have for this podcast. He's been very... He doesn't like throwing young players in the deep end, and that's sort of leading me to believe that I don't think Thurgate will be thrown in this week. He would probably keep him. He would probably be looking at maybe sticking Austin in there, I would think, and then maybe bring Thurgate on if Austin's not performing at about 60 minutes, and give him a good nice long run out, and then see how he performs. But what do you think the chances are? Who do you think's going to make the starting 11 on Sunday? You think it's going to be Thurgate, or do you think it's going to be Mitch Austin?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that maybe the more cynical of Jets fans might say that this won't be the first game that Joey has missed. He might have missed the first five.
That's not you saying that, Glenn.
No, it's not. No. I just saw an opportunity for a joke, and I took it as is my wont.
It was good.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often. But I don't know. I think if you, the old adage as far as, throwing young people in there, yes, okay, it's not always wise to do that. But I come back to the old adage, if you're good enough, you're old enough. And I feel like, Austin's been around the traps, never really made a mark, and he's definitely not a point man. If you keep Hoffman at the point, that's a different thing entirely. But I don't know. I personally trust Thurgate more to make more of an impact. And I think, it's not like he's not been around the team. He's come on for sub appearances. I don't know if he's ever made a start. I can't remember. But you know, I don't think it'd be too much for him. I think he'd handle it. I'm not saying we should rely on him, but I don't think it would overawe him. I think he'd be fine with that. But again, we've got a sort of a litany of choices for Merrick to make, and I don't think any one of them's the wrong one, which probably makes the decision even harder because he has so many that are nothing's standing out as obvious. So this is why he gets paid the big bucks to make these decisions and live and die by the sword, I suppose.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, we'll get our prediction caps on now. Joel, what do you think's the score going to be at full time?
I'm actually predicting a 2-1 loss. I've never really predicted a loss on. It makes me sound like a dick, but I just think it's going to be one of the harder games before Christmas, and I think Melbourne City have a lot to prove to try and dispel all the negative media they've had in the last couple of weeks.
Glenn?
I'm going 1-1, and I think it'll be a well-earned point and a fair result for both teams. So 1-1 for me.
I've got my fingers crossed that the destabilisation at Melbourne City continues. I'm going to go against the grain and predict a 2-1 away Jets win.
Good on you. Good on you. Hey, can I just add?
Yeah.
I've got a bold prediction for Mitch.
Oh, okay.
I know we're not even doing it anymore, but I've got one anyway.
Yeah.
And I think I've actually done this same bold prediction 3 or possibly even 4 times before. So it's not what's
what's coming.
Ivan to score
our goal. You're gonna nail your colours to that mast, and you're gonna ride it all the way to the bottom of the ocean. All right,
well, it's gonna happen one day.
It's gonna happen. Well, that's very true. I mean, yeah, if Cowburn can score his first goal, I'm sure Vojica can nail on for one sometime, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be this weekend. Alright, we'll cover off the rest of the A-League. Round 6 Friday night sees the round kick off 7:50 p.m. at Hindmarsh Stadium. Adelaide taking on Brisbane Roar. This looks like a pretty tasty game, Joel.
Yeah, really good. Both in good form. Targets on fire, good ones on fire. I think it'll be a tough game. I'm predicting a 1-1 draw.
Glenn?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. One all is a good score down in Adelaide. I think Brisbane would be happy with that, even though they are playing very well. But it's a tough place to go.
Yeah.
And I think both teams are going to be trying to play football. There's not going to be one team sitting back and trying to soak up pressure. It's hopefully it'll be pretty end to end and entertaining for the neutral. But yeah, 1-1 for me.
Yep, definitely. I also think it's going to be a draw, but I think it'll be a 2-2 draw, not a 1-1. Saturday, 5:35 p.m, Central Coast hosting Sydney FC. Can't really see anything other than a Sydney FC win and probably a cricket score, Glenn.
Yeah, 2 for 22, I suppose. no, it'll be. I've got to go with the Bodie special here. It'd be interesting for Matt Simon because he's now back, obviously, at Central Coast, playing against Sydney, and then back at the club that Graham Arnold so famously told the crowd that you didn't want him, but now they do want him somehow. I don't know why.
And he's their captain.
But anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does he do? Come on with 10 to go, just punch La Fonda and get sent.
That'd be hilarious just for the lols. Yeah, I'd be all up for that. So yeah, Bodie special for Glenn.
4-0.
Joel,
yes.
What about you?
Well, a couple of years ago, the Mariners beat Sydney 2-0 at home, but that's not going to happen. I'm thinking 2-0 the other way, Sydney to beat them 2-0.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be 3-0. I can't. Well, no, actually, I'll say 3-1. I think they'll probably score some jammy goal. First up, they'll go ahead 1-0, and then Sydney will go, what do you think you're doing? And then, they'll run over the top of them. All right, Saturday night.
Can we just take a moment? Sorry, Grant. Can we just take a moment just to kind of immerse ourselves in how much the Coast suck this year.
Can you not jinx it, please? Like, seriously.
No.
Don't tempt fate. Seriously, do not do it. We've got to face them soon.
Don't do it.
Wait until after we've beaten them, and then we can go.
All right, I won't do it.
Yeah,
let's
don't do it.
Let's pretend I didn't do
all
it.
Right. Yeah, well, I'll wipe that from the edit. So, okay. Glenn, Saturday night, second game on Saturday night, 7:50 p.m, Melbourne Victory hosting Wanderers. I was pretty surprised with how shit Wanderers were last week. I'm not seeing anything other than a Victory win here as well.
Yeah, no, they were rubbish, and they'll continue to be rubbish. Victory will punish them. I'd say 2-0 at a canter for Melbourne.
Joel, I'm not seeing any of this as being Marcus Babbel's fault. He just hasn't really got a decent... They haven't really been able to get a decent team together, and that really lies with the administration, not with the coach.
Yeah, and even, like, we beat them 4-0 in pre-season, and they don't have a proper central back pairing, and, yeah, I'm thinking victory at home, 3-1.
All right. I will predict a... Yeah, I'd say a 3-0 win for those for that game. Sunday, the game before ours, is Wellington Phoenix hosting Perth Glory. This looks like it could be starting to get dangerous for Wellington. They did start quite well, but it sort of seems to have tailed off pretty damn rapidly. Joel, Perth Glory are, you know, absolutely streaking out in front of everybody. I can't see anything other than a Glory win in the ridiculously named distance derby.
Agreed. Now, especially now that Castro's back as well, so I'm thinking Wellington will get a goal, but it'll be 2-1 to Perth.
Okay, Glenn.
I think they'll jag a draw. I think this will be a speed bump. It's 2-2.
All right, now that's good. That'll give the Wellington. There's a couple of Wellington guys that do listen. So, g'day, guys. I'm really hoping you guys can get a draw. I'll go with a draw, 1-1. I think a 1-1 draw. With that'll hopefully be able to steady the ship a little bit and not give you the yips. And good God, if it's another bad result this week, it's not looking good. But yeah, we need you to stay ahead of the coast. That would be all we're hoping for. All right, we'll quickly cover off the W League before we wrap it up. Joel, the Jets women are playing Thursday night at McDonald Jones Stadium, 7:30 p.m. kickoff. Entry is free if you're a member. It's included in your Jets membership. And it looks like it's going to be a pretty strong team. The only player that we are missing at the moment is Tara Andrews, who's still out with an ankle complaint for another couple of weeks. But it was fantastic to see Aaron Wright, previously known as Gilliland, make a surprise return to the Hunter after getting married last month, and she's decided she loved the place so much she wanted to come back. So it's great to see her back.
It's really good and nice to see her putting football before love. just telling her husband, I'm out. She called Newcastle her second home, so that makes us love her. And yeah, it should be a cracker of a game. I think they're both in the middle of the table, and yeah, it should be a good one.
Yep, definitely. Looking at the table now, yeah, the Jets are sitting in fourth and the Brisbane Roar are sitting in fifth. We are actually 2 points ahead of them, so we're actually doing a little better. Both played three games. We're actually not looking too bad because we've only played three games. Some of the other teams have played four, so we do have a bye in hand. So it looks like this could be a really good game, nicely evenly matched, but we look like we're steadily building to be a really strong team.
Yeah, and as the podcasters mentioned in the review pod, they sort of touched on Aaron Wright and her signing and how it's going to be a shot in the arm, and I couldn't agree more. I think it just strengthens what is already a really strong side, probably the strongest side that we've compiled in the short history of the Jets W League. So, they'll go on with it from here and hopefully give it a real shake and go well into the finals, hopefully.
Joel, what are you expecting to see on this game? By the time this podcast comes out, it'll be tonight. Are you expecting a really open end-to-end game? Or are you expecting it might be a bit of a midfield tussle?
Yeah, I think it'll be a midfield tussle. I think there's three Matildas on the Newcastle team now because Larissa Crummer's coming back in for her, I think, second game for the season. So that's really good to see. And we've got Gemma Simon and Van Egmond. Aaron Wright's back in. Taylor Smith looks awesome at right back. Courtney Vine's full of confidence after that worldie. Stengel's leading the line. Jenna will be confident. Jenna Kingsley, because she scored last week. So I really think we're going to be flying tonight.
Glenn, what about you? You're expecting a bit of a midfield battle as well, but you're hoping that we're going to come out with it at the end?
I think so. I feel like we need to use Van Egmond a bit more and get her to dictate the pace of the attacking play at least. But yeah, just so many options in attack and such a strong defence. I think, yeah, I really think the difference is going to be in the midfield, and it's probably going to be a war of attrition in the middle of the park there. I'm hoping that the weather calms down a bit for it, because So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm hoping I can finish work early enough to get out there, or get home, have something to eat, and then get out there again. So, yeah, fingers crossed. Anyway, it should be a good match.
Just on that Van Egmond situation, do you think that maybe we're playing her a little bit further back than what she's been playing in the Matildas, or what are you putting that down to? That it seems to be, yeah, slightly different. She seems to have a slightly different impact in the Matildas than she does playing for the Jets.
Yeah, I don't think her defensive side of her game is the best. I much prefer her going forward, and she's I don't know how to say it nicely. She doesn't get back that quick either. When she gets beaten, she's not the first one back to mop it up. So I feel like playing her further forward does two things. It opens up her ability to make that killer pass in the final third, which she's excellent at. And then it also sort of takes the pressure off her defensively as well. So, yeah, I think maybe pushing her forward, especially at a home game, might pay dividends.
Joel, do you think that maybe we seem to be trying to play her more as a number 8 than a number 10? We really need to stick her right up there in a number 10 role, supporting the girls up front rather than making her do all the legwork in midfield. As Glenn said, she's not necessarily the quickest and able to get back and do those defensive duties. So maybe being a little bit more clearer with her in her duties, just, no, you're a number 10, you're the one making things happen, and let the girls in the back in the midfield take care of the rest of that defensive work.
Yeah, that'd be great to see. I don't know if Deansy thinks we don't have that defensive midfield coverage without her, you know, being a bit deeper. But I'd love to see her more forward, because we saw in that Socceroos match she was just putting those killer passes through, as Glenn mentioned. So, yeah, more of that, please.
What's the score going to be, Joel?
2-1, Jets win.
Glenn?
I think we'll keep a clean sheet. I think 2-0.
2-0. I think we will also keep a clean sheet. I'll pick that one as well. Now, I'm just going to... where did that disappear to? All right, there we go. I've got it. So the rest of the round... round 5 in the Jets W League. So we kick it off Thursday night, obviously. Saturday night is the next game, 7:30 p.m. Melbourne City Women taking on Adelaide. Glenn, I haven't spoken to you about a prediction for this one. What do you think is going to happen here? What's the score going to be?
I think Melbourne City will do this at home, maybe by the odd goal, 2-1 for me.
Joel?
Yeah, I mean, Melbourne City have been the glamour club of the W League for the past few years, and they're low on the table and had a couple of losses, losses. So I think they'll be desperate to get a result, but I'm thinking a 2-2 draw with Adelaide.
Yeah, Melbourne City are sitting in eighth, second last place with only one win to their name, whereas Adelaide are up in third spot with 7 points. So, yeah, this is obviously going to be a really important game for Melbourne City to get the win. So, if they want to move up the page, but I don't think they're going to do it. I think Adelaide will run away with this. I think maybe 3-1. We'll go for a 3-1 win. Sunday, there are two games on Sunday. Melbourne Victory first, hosting Western Sydney. Joel, what do you think is going to be the score here? Western Sydney are bottom of the league.
Yeah, I'm expecting Victory to a comfortable 2-0 win.
And Melbourne Victory are top with, 3 wins and a draw. Glenn, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think 4-0 Victory.
Yep, I'll go for a 3-0 win as well. All right, Joel, last game on Sunday, 4 p.m, Canberra United facing Sydney FC. What's the score going to be here?
Yeah, this should be a good one, but I think at home Canberra will edge them with a 1-0 win.
Canberra have been surprised. They're sort of mid-table as well. They're just under Brisbane Roar, but they haven't really seemed to be hitting their straps yet. Glenn, you think they're going to be able to pull it out for this one?
Yeah, I think it'll be a really tight game because, as you say, both teams are sort of floating around the middle of the table there. Haven't really put a good run of form together, really. I'm probably leaning towards a draw here, 1-1.
Yep, I'll go the same score as well, 1-1. All right, unless there's any other news to cover off, can we think?
Oh, just the Central Coast women. Oh, that's right, they don't have one.
No, they've got it.
There's not many women on the Central Coast.
Yes, they have. They have
women or ladies?
Oh, come on.
Well,
dangerous.
All right, so
they're all named Roxanne, that's all I'll say.
No other news to cover off?
No, I can't
think of anything. All right, fair enough. All right, well, thanks very much for listening, guys. Really appreciate it. Download, subscribe, jump onto the podcast landing page, newcastlefootball.net/podcast. All the subscription links are there. We are on TuneIn, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and you can also get the RSS feed to stick into your podcast app and subscribe that way. You can also listen to them, obviously, through through the website. You just click on the episode and a little media player pops up. You can listen to them through there, or you can download them to your phone and listen to them that way. You can also get in touch with us. You can give us questions or suggest ideas for opening questions because we're starting to run out of them. We're talking about goddamn toothpaste. Please get in contact. You can Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Jetstream New. We're on all of those. You can also email us podcast@newcastlefootball.net if you want to get in contact that way. All right, thanks very much for listening, guys. Please give us an iTunes review if you do subscribe and you do like the like what we do, and we'll give it a read out. I'll make sure Dave reads that out next week, if he's on or if I'm on, because I don't have Apple and I can't look at it. All right, thanks very much, guys. Glenn, really appreciate you coming on.
No, thanks for having me. Pleasure as always.
You as well, Joel. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. Love your work.
That's great stuff. All right. Well, hopefully we'll find something a little bit better to talk about for our opening question for the next episode. But in the meantime, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Here's one for you. Jetoki ni iku. Oh, Japanese.
That means
go the Jets.
Oh, I thought it was tickle me Jets or something.
Tickle me Jets. Oh. That's another possible contender for a podcast title, Tickle Me Jets.
Oh dear, and that's the end of that chapter. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.